That baby that was born in a manger, praise God, didn't have nowhere, praise God, for his mother to go and have a decent birth. So she went into a manger, praise God, and got a hog trough. Praise God, put some hay in there. And our Lord was born. Praise God. He's the one that came back. I look at us and said, now who is our yoke fella? Praise God, Jesus is our yoke fella. Praise God, the Bible tells me that he came among his own, but his own received him not. Praise God, and not only that, he lived but a short life. Praise God, 33 and a half years is a short life. Praise God, by any stretch of the imagination. But praise God, he went on and he died. Praise God, went on an old rugged cross. Praise God, where they drove nails through his hand. Drove a spike through his side. Drove a spike through his feet. Praise God, and he died upon that cross. But praise God, he did that so that he can reconcile man back to God. Praise God, that umbilical cord had been severed between man and God. Praise God, and somebody had to reattach it. Praise God, and he reattached that umbilical cord between God and man. He died a life. He died a death. Praise God, that he did not owe. Praise God, but he did it all for you and I. Praise God, they nailed him to that cross. Praise God, and he stayed there. Praise God, until the S-U-N refused to shine. Praise God, and then when he got ready, praise God, the Bible tells me that he locked his head into his shoulder, and he gave up the ghost. Praise God, and he died. He said that it's finished. I often wonder what was finished, Reverend Lee. Reverend Philip, what was finished? Praise God, I always have to throw myself into this equation. You know what was finished? Praise God, because when he died 2,000 years ago, there wasn't a nappy-haired boy by the name of Joe Martin born yet. Praise God, and he had looked down through the annals of time, and he saw, praise God, that there was going to be a boy that was going to be born. Praise God, and he knew, praise God, that I was going to have to be saved. And when he said, it is finished, he did not stop there, because I'm here to tell you that there are still some folk that he needs to save. There might be somebody here today that might need to be saved, because he's that kind of God. He reconciled every last one of us. Praise God, because we all, before we gave our life to Jesus, praise God, we were on our way to hell. Hallelujah. Some of us, we were enjoying the trip. Praise God. Some of us, hallelujah, we were out there having a good time. Some of us had gotten into drugs. Some of us gotten into alcoholism. Some of us gotten into whoremongering. But I thank God for his son Jesus for allowing me, praise God, even though I used to be out there in that street. But I got to tell somebody, the street don't have anything for me no more. The streets, somebody put me some mic on there. The streets don't have anything on me no more. Praise God, I get so upset when I see some of these folk in their 50s and their 60s. Some of them in their 70s still going to the club. Don't you know, club can't do nothing for me. Yeah, club can't do nothing for me no more. The devil should have kept me when he had me. But I'm so glad that Jesus came and he reconciled me back. And I'm not only glad for myself, because as I look around, this horn of plenty. Praise God. There might be some who are out there in their own mess, but ain't God good? Ain't God good? Look how he protected you while you were out there in the street, while you were sneaking around, snooping and a-pooping. Praise God, he took care of you. I'm so glad that we have a God, hallelujah, who sits high, looks low. Understand that we are just human beings, and he protected us while we were yet out there in our stupor. I'm trying to tell somebody something. If you are still in your stupor, won't you come on out today? The Lord, he has paved the way for you so that you can have a right to the tree of life. I heard somebody said, ain't he all right? 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 I know he's all right. I know he's all right. We serve an all right. I'm talking about unity. Praise God. Going back to our Sunday school lesson, there ought to be so much unity in the church. Oh Lord, hallelujah. I need two people up here. Come. That's right, two right here. You know what a yoke, fella? The yoke. I'm glad y'all stood like that. The yoke was to bring them together. They would take that yoke and it was just like a collar. They would put it on one oxen. Put it on the other oxen. Hook them together. Y'all walk forward. So that they could plow in one direction, not one going that direction, not another one going that direction, because they can do more together than what they can do apart. And that's what that yoke fella, that's how he binds us together. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is that yoke fella. I asked you a question earlier. Would you look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm glad to be a yoke fella. And the church of the day we need more yoke fella. We need more people that's going to bring us together than those that are going to tear us apart. We got enough instigators. Deal with that stuff out in the world. We shouldn't be dealing with that in the church. There ought to be some folks. Praise God. I'm praying, God. Oh, Lord. Make all of us a yoke fella. Be that one that when we see something going astray, it's something that's dividing, that we would be the one to have enough spiritual intestinal fortitude. Tell a brother, tell a sister, God what you're doing, what you're getting ready to say, what you're saying is wrong. Say, I love you. I love you, but what you just said is wrong. And you need to go get that straight. And with that, man, we could be so more unified. And if we are that unified, we can come together as brothers and sisters. I told you I'm going to get back to the Sunday school lesson. And we could stand up here, Deacon Robinson. If our minds are locked on Jesus Christ, we can get together, brothers and sisters, and we could walk, and we could talk. We could find out who in the neighborhood, don't have to be a member, we could find out who's in that neighborhood that needs some help. And instead of us talking about each other, we could say, Deacon, man, there's a family over there. Notice that they have lost everything that they had. They can't pay their rent. They done put their stuff out on the street. Let's see what we can do as brothers and sisters. We got a big old church. Let's go see what we can take up something. Praise God to help those that are in need. That's what we ought to be doing. Praise God. But we can't do that if we're bickering. Paul had to write that letter to that Philippian church because Paul knew that if those women would have kept on. Can I say something to y'all? Don't y'all know that bickering and arguing is contagious? I didn't hear enough on that side. Let me go over here. Don't y'all know that bickering and quarreling is contagious? Let me try the middle. Don't y'all know that bickering and arguing is contagious? Thank you. It may have started with those two women, but if that wasn't a yoke fella to come in and step in, I'm gonna use the vernacular of the world and nip that thing in the bud. It would have been all over the church. The point where the gospel message would become none of all. So that's the reason why, praise God, Paul had to address this thing. And I said he addressed it in a church that did him some good. Man, I say good. Praise God, that did him some great good. Church that helped him. Among the body of Christ. Might be somebody sitting in here today. And you haven't given your life to Christ. You still fighting this thing. You still want to do it your way. You want to wait until you clean yourself up. Say like I used to say on the street, can I hip you to something? You can't clean yourself up. You got one who died a vicarious death on a cross that was on a hill. And if he thought that you could clean yourself up, if God thought that you could do it,
he'd have never sent his son to die in your stead. Won't you come and give your life to Jesus? He loved you. He suffered, bled, and died.
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
You might have the right.
Above him there's no other. 'Cause Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Is that one?
Oh, Jesus is the answer.
If not,
for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other, 'cause Jesus is the way.
Let the church say amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 588.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Philippians chapter 4, turn there if you will. Philippians chapter 4. Glory.
Praise the Lord.
I want to look at verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And it simply says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I just want to tell you, whatever you're going through, rejoice. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you're going through, good or bad, up or down, if they're treating you right or wrong, rejoice. Now give God some praise. One of the things that I want to share in this message this morning is how Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, is encouraging the saints, the believers, to focus all their emotions, their thoughts, their feelings on the reality of who they are and whose they are, and the power and the person who resides on the inside, who shall cause them to triumph in any test or trial they may be experiencing. One of the things that I think you will note from Holy Writ here, as Paul suggests to not only the church at Philippi, but all believers everywhere, is the fact that if your rejoicing is in, and the word in being the word of a focus here, in the Lord, then that means this, that you have the knowledge, first of all, that the Lord will not allow anything to happen to you, to come your way, or for you to experience first that he did not intend for you to conquer. Secondly, he has not allowed any of those things to come your way without you being in the process of those things, either further developed or further defined or further refined. And then lastly, he did not let any of those things come your way without stamping success or victory on them. So you're rejoicing, listen at this, because the sinner who would hear that would think that would be ludicrous for us to rejoice while we're going through troubles and situations that are adverse and difficult. But notice he didn't say rejoice in your trouble, trial, tribulation, this, that, and the other. He said rejoice in the Lord. Because if my rejoicing is in the Lord, and if I am in the Lord every day might not be sunny, but the God I serve is still God, whether the sun is shining or it's raining. The God I serve is worthy for me to rejoice in or rejoice in because of our relationship and our fellowship. In other words, there ought not be anything that happens in any day that takes my focus off of him, that's more important than him, that would move me from the place of rejoicing in him, because I know underneath the skin that no matter what happens, God has got this thing fixed. Now, when you really know he has this thing fixed, listen to what you'll do. Number one, you'll stop trying to fix it. I say, when you know he's got this thing fixed, you'll stop trying to fix it, because as long as you're trying to fix it, you split your attention between God and what you're working on. But if you know that God has got this thing fixed, then you will address your attention to focus on God and let him handle the stuff that he's already in charge of. Look at this. Paul is writing and he's exhorting the believers, and he's sharing with them to stand fast in the Lord. Verse 1 says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now notice the verbiage he uses here to speak about those he loves and those to whom he has given his affection and his attention and his adoration and appreciation for in Christ. Notice how he speaks to them, dearly beloved, my joy and crown. Listen to this. I'm going to turn back to second chapter, still in Philippians. And look at what he's saying. Look at what he's saying, because these are the same folk he's talking to. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. In other words, he's saying, I love you so much in the Lord, and I'm concerned about your spiritual state, about your growth and your development. He says, I'm troubled in my spirit because I don't believe you're getting what you need, and I'm going to send Timothy to you sooner than you know, because I can't get no rest in my spirit till I know everything is well with you. Now listen to what he says in verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now, he was saying, I've tried to think, who could I put this awesome burden and responsibility to look over you, who would care for you the way that I care for you and love you the way that I love for you, and who will love you enough not to let you have your own way, and love you enough to tell you what's right when you're wrong, love you enough to put you in the straight and the narrow, love you enough to commit you and commend you to Jesus, love you enough to pray for you daily, love you enough to care about your I don't know nobody who loves you like I love you. So the best thing I can do is send my son in the ministry, Timothy, to look on you, share with you, talk with you, and find out how you're doing. And when I find out you're okay, then I'll be okay. So then he talks in verse 2 about two women who had some issues, some doctrinal issues, some personal issues. All we know about them two is that they had issues. Paul didn't bring up the issues, because I got news for you. It don't matter what the issue is that separates us or that brings us to a point of division. Whatever it is, it's not good. So instead of highlighting the issue, he simply highlights the women and say, listen, y'all work with them. Tell them to get on one accord. Tell them to be of the same mind. Why does he tell them that? Because these obviously are two prominent women. They obviously suggested to be deaconesses in the church, and they are influential women. They are affluent women. And he's saying, listen, if they don't get together, it's going to cause a rippling effect. So y'all work on them so they can have like-minded. Are y'all listening to me here today? Look at verse 3. He also says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now notice what he says now in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. How long? Always qualifies this as not only a command, but as a serious, serious command for the believer to understand that our position on rejoicing should be always. There ought not ever be anything the devil can do to us, bring to us, that will cause us not to rejoice in the Lord. Now, it's understandable that you don't always rejoice in your situations. It's understandable that you don't always rejoice in your circumstances. It's understandable that you don't always rejoice in certain places with certain people and under certain problems. But there's never a time that you should not rejoice in the Lord. Now if I were to do a breakdown of the word rejoice to help you understand just a little clearer, and not to go into a deep breakdown, but a simple one, here's what you need to know. The word joyce is a derivative of the word joy. Amen. And the word re suggests that you need to apply it again. Now, to understand where your joy originally came from, it came from Jesus. Jesus has said that I would that you would have my joy, and that it would not only remain, but that your joy extended from my joy would be full. Now, one of the things, and you find both of these in John 15 and 16 chapters. Now, one of the things that you need to understand is that you never get the joy of the Lord until you get Jesus. And when you have Jesus, then you have the joy of the Lord. And here's what you need to know. Jesus says, if you will exercise principles found in John 16, 24, and learn how to pray and ask God for what it is you want according to the word, the will, and the way of God, that he will do it. But the reason he's going to do it is so that your joy may be full or exercised to a higher level. Now, how many of you know if you ask the Lord for something, the Lord gives it to you, that bring you joy? And you ask him for something else, and he gives you something else, and that brings you more joy. And you ask him for more and more, and the more you ask him, the more he does it, the more it lifts your joy to another level. Well, now here's what you need to know. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, he's going to do it. So what he's really telling you is that if you're going to rejoice, if you're going to be able to take life, love, and all of its experiences to another level, you're going to have to utilize your relationship and fellowship with me. In other words, outside of Jesus, the Father ain't hearing a thing you saying. And outside of Jesus, there is no joy. So without Jesus, it's no wonder why you can't rejoice if you've never had him in the first place. But if you ever have him in the first place and your joy seems to be seeping out, all you need to do is go back to the place you first got your joy